It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo, indeed it is hump day, and you have made it. Congratulations, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate you listening. Each of you, you're treasured, you're valued. You have purpose. Live with intention. And realize you're made for this time. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Thank you to this team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It's hump day, producer Steve. I wasn't sure if the camel was going to make it in or if you'd given him the day off.
No, he had last week off, and I fully expected him to be here on time.
You, I tell you what, you expect perfection. I love that.
Well, we can't have any slackers on this show.
No,
everybody needs to pull their own weight. You give the guy a week off, and
they want to take two.
Yeah,
so I'm glad that. Yeah, don't get a precedent going. That's a, you know, and it's so hard to find good camels these days. I hear that it is so difficult to find employees right now, Steve, because of all the unemployment money that's coming to people. I understand that it's just difficult. So, do walk tread lightly with him, though. Okay.
Yeah, okay, got it. Let you introduce your guest.
In studio with me is my friend. You know her. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and highly recommend if you're considering buying or selling your home to give her a call. That's Karen Levine. It's great to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here. It was hard for me to believe the sun is up at this hour.
I know. Mm-hmm. It is hard to believe, yet, but we're heading into summer, so
that's
a good thing.
Yes, the longest day Karen, is on the horizon.
Yeah, Karen, there are 2 6 o'clocks in the day.
And you are coming off of 2 weeks of meetings with the National Board of Realtors. You're a director there. And you and I both have been on a journey understanding how public policy has really been, in some ways, very aggressively, but subtly as well, attacking our private property rights. So I can't wait to talk with you in the third and fourth segment about what you've learned on that, Karen.
Yeah, there was a lot of amazing content. I wish there was more opportunity for discussion, but we were flooded with a lot of information. And I think the discussion will follow. We'll be having some virtual Hill visits with our state senators and representatives here over the next weeks through the month of June. So hopefully we'll have some good conversations with them about things that are affecting housing nationwide.
It is astonishing. So what's the inventory look like? Are we in a good spring selling season or what's going on?
No. I mean, it's a really robust selling season and there are homes out there to buy. It's just that we are in I think the statistic is a 20-year or 50-year low of inventory nationwide. And as we'll see in our discussion today, it's really been brought upon by public policy, by things happening in Washington and locally with zoning and with restrictions. And it's sad because it is proven statistically that home ownership creates wealth in America. And that is the goal of the National Association of Realtors, is to provide home ownership for all and to protect private property rights, because we know that that does create wealth for our nation. It creates employment. It creates opportunity. And so it's been under assault very slowly over all these years, and we are now seeing the results of that.
So we'll talk about that, because we can fix it, I think. Mm-hmm. But first of all, you have to understand the problem. And I'm not sure everybody has. And so.
Well, and I think people are good intentioned. And they're sold a good idea. It sounds positive, and we don't look down the road. We don't see, what does that mean for the next generation? What does that mean for several generations? And you and I have talked about the construction defect legislation that went into effect in the state of Colorado. Now it's been over a decade ago, which halted the development of condominium ownership units in our state. But what's curious to me is that that construction was halted nationwide, and the rest of the nation didn't have that policy. So other underlying things kept condominium housing and condominiums being ownership housing to come out of the market. We've seen a lot of rental housing come out of the market.
Look at all the apartments out here. Yes.
But they're claiming we still don't have enough rental housing.
They're claiming we don't have enough rental housing?
And my fear is that there is an underlying agenda that when you don't own your home, you have very less power, you have less wealth, which means you have less control, and you put more dependency on government. And so as you take away the ability to home ownership, you take away many rights and many opportunities mm-hmm. that home ownership gives people. So,
well, and just quickly regarding condominiums, it used to be that a condominium was a way for a young person or a young couple to start to have some home ownership. So that was over here creating demand, creating ownership. And then also on the other side, there would be people that might be moving out of a big house, downsizing, and it would offer that opportunity. And so it would keep this robust circle going.
Correct.
On all sides. And when you've taken that away, we see now people are staying in their homes. Although Steve and I have talked about it, there's also this subtle tax increase with the value of homes going up. The assessed valuation goes up, and the taxes go up automatically. So once again, that is a way that could start to put the squeeze on people regarding their home ownership. Karen.
Excuse me, did you say subtle?
Not so subtle.
No, it's like a brick in the head. Every when those notices come out, it's like a brick in the head.
Well, and yet, if you were selling your home, Steve, you would be very grateful that the price of your home has gone up.
Well,
so it is. What's frustrating is many people saw $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 assessment increases
yes.
here along the Front Range, and the sad part is that mill levy will probably not get adjusted downward, which means the income into the government coffers is going to increase. And they always, of course, can't claim that they never have enough funds. And I think that's where Steve feels the squeeze.
Yes.
Well, again, we talked about it yesterday. They're playing a game on paper. But to the homeowners, it's real money. And the gap between those two things, I just can't get my head around.
And that's a really important point, is that it is your real money as that goes up. So the homeowner's getting squeezed in so many ways. So we'll talk about that in the third and fourth segment. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at these issues in the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, and searching for truth and clarity on these issues. And our goal is to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can converse with your friends and your family and your colleagues. Because, Karen, we are in an epic battle of ideas in America right now. And to equip yourself, you need to know what you're talking about. And that's why we bring in experts like you so that people can understand it and then speak intelligently with others.
Right. And it doesn't have to be combative. It can be very educational. And many times we buy into the airstream, you know, what we hear on the radio and on the TV, and we don't question it. One, because it's easy, but if we can sit down with friends and family and colleagues and have conversations, we all learn something and we all see things from different angles and can create a better situation for everybody.
I really feel that you have such an important voice at the National Board of Realtors, because that is a place, and also you've been really active in Colorado and local level as mm-hmm. well, but I think you are a very important voice on that, and you have a style that is not combative, and I think that you're seeing success with what you're doing, and again, I think the knowledge that hopefully you've gotten from, well, our girls groups and from mm-hmm. here has been helpful.
Very helpful. And I think as we continue the conversation today, what came to mind is having this conversation about force versus freedom. And what I saw being discussed over the last 2 weeks was a agenda somewhat of force. And that's what scares me. And so at the level of the National Association of Realtors, I think it's important that we grab hold of our foundation, which is providing the opportunity for home ownership for each and every American who wants that opportunity, mm-hmm. but also who has earned that opportunity through hard work.
Mm-hmm. And another, when you talk about opportunity, another word for that could be pursuit, mm-hmm. like pursuit of happiness.
Exactly.
And that goes all the way back to that Declaration of Independence. And speaking of Declaration of Independence, makes me think of our veterans and our military. And this week will be our final show from the Echoes Challenge, the Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later. It's Colonel Fisher who actually was the brain behind all of this. And he's a really powerful interview. And so you won't want to miss that. Steve, I know that you've really enjoyed recording. I know you enjoy recording all of those, but this one is exceptional as well.
Well, the previous guys who contributed to the book were sharing very personal, how they saw it and what they were doing. Colonel Fisher's interview is more the nuts and bolts politically. I love that part of it, in terms of why we were even there in the first place. But also he went into the mechanics of guerrilla warfare mm-hmm. and all those mm-hmm. things. And in a twisted way, it's kind of fascinating.
It is really fascinating. So that's on KLZ 560, KLZ 100.7 FM, Sunday afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m. It's replayed 10 to 11. And Karen, you not only sponsor the Kim Munson Show, but you also sponsor that show. And I know that's really near and dear to your heart.
It is, and I think what has been interesting is to hear how much our Vietnam veterans have appreciated hearing the stories that came up to their pursuit of protecting America, and the fact that I have young people in my life who, through their homeschool curriculum, have been using that show for part of their history course, and I think it's super important because they're not getting it generally in public school. They don't get to hear that history and how it did shape where we are today mm-hmm. and who we are as people.
Mm-hmm. And Kim, I had a really cool experience last weekend. As you know, I volunteer at the Railroad Museum up in Golden, mm-hmm. and there was a volunteer banquet Saturday, and I ended up sitting at a table with one of the trustees of the museum who was a Vietnam vet. And I told him about what we do on that show. He was fascinated, but also echoed how bad it was when he came home.
Yeah.
Actually being instructed that when you get to the States, when your plane lands, make sure you have some civvies to put on immediately.
Yeah, it was really tough. And on that, I will just mention one of the last things that Patty, I think, has on the outline, and that is John Kerry. It's before that, I think. He has been flying around. And he's thinking about trying to, I think, recommend instituting a carbon tax for products coming into the United States, and wanting to make sure that, I guess, that those countries over there that are polluting, there we go. Let's see, this is from The Hill. It says, Kerry, the U.S. is considering a carbon import tax, and it's looking at potentially adding cost to imports from countries that don't put heavy taxes on polluters, climate envoy John Kerry said Tuesday. Kerry said that President Biden told officials to look at what are the consequences. How do you do your pricing? What is the impact? First of all, I can't remember which one of the veterans had mentioned this, but in Hanoi, in a museum, there is a display honoring John Kerry and Jane Fonda, because they had taken the side of the North Vietnamese. And here he is all these years later. He'd run for president, And he's running our economy into the ground with all of this carbon tax. And the carbon tax is, Karen, you and I went through the World Economic Forum, their goal for 2030, and it's a carbon tax. How about we try to we've done such a good job on our pollution mm-hmm. here. And I just can't believe that they're continuing to make things more and more expensive
for everyday people. You specifically said flying around the world in private jets, you know.
Oh, yeah. Does that take carbon products, petroleum?
Maybe he's got a solar panel on there. Maybe, why don't we?
A big old battery.
A big old battery. Try to get that thing off the ground.
Yeah, but that battery has to be charged with something.
True that. Maybe a... I was just thinking, flying through a thunderstorm, maybe the lightning would charge that. So anyway, I am all over the place this
you
morning.
You
are. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Karen, let's talk about this bill of the day. You won't want to miss that. And then, of course, Karen Levine and Liz Peetz is going to be with us as well. And she is the Government Affairs VP with the
Colorado Association of Realtors.
There we go.
And they're doing some good work down at the state capitol. So it'll be interesting to hear what she's been working diligently on.
Okay. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. Greatly appreciate that, because we are looking at these issues as through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people. You could should be able to persuade them. And tonight, the Avs are in the playoffs, and that is very exciting, and would recommend, if you want to get together with friends, go to Hooters Restaurants. Great place to watch the game. There's five locations. Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They have all kinds of specials. They have happy hour specials. But it is exciting to just, Karen, to think about maybe not thinking about all the stuff out there. Get together with some friends, watch the game, or they have to-go specials. You could have pick it up and take it home. But it seems it's exciting.
It's exciting.
I love the Avs.
You can go and see the game, and you can also get in front of the TV and watch the game. All these things we haven't been able to do.
And why? Because the government says we can now.
I know. It's delightful.
Yes. So go to my website. That's kimmunson.com. Click on my sponsors tab. Highly recommend each and every one of them and appreciate you doing business with them. And click on the Hooters tab, and there'll be all of their specials there. Also, tomorrow night, we have created a studio in my basement, and we are having a web event. It's not a Zoom meeting. It's a web event, and we'll be talking about COVID. It's candid COVID conversations. Councilwoman Ramey Johnson from Lakewood came up with the idea. We've got a great panel. Dr. Jill Vecchio will talk about the actual COVID, the experimental drug that's a vaccine, they call a vaccine, symptoms, treatments, those kinds of things. Matt Durkin will be talking about COVID crime. He was a candidate for Jefferson County DA. He believes in safe communities are important for us to pursue our happiness. Priscilla Ron, she is the new vice chair of the Colorado GOP. She's an educator, and we'll be talking about the education of our kids. And then Sue Kinfield, who is an expert in resiliency. She'll be talking about our mental well-being. So it's going to be a great event. The tickets are $5 plus a $1 processing fee, or as Karen says, they're $6.
Exactly. Isn't that a tax?
Oh, no. It's our processing fee.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes a lot to put that all together. So it's $6, and we'd love to have you join us tomorrow night, and that's going to be via the web. We'll be doing salon series in person as well as on the web, just kind of have a mix of that. So thank you for joining us, and thank you for purchasing your tickets at kimmunson.com. Karen, let's go first of all to our quote for the day, because you're in studio. I thought private property rights, and James Madison, typically he's one of the guys that always, he always has a lot to say. You know him. He was an American statesman, diplomat, expansionist, philosopher, and founding father who served as the fourth president of the United States from 1809 to 1817. He's hailed as the father of the Constitution for his pivotal role in drafting and promoting the Constitution of the United States and the United States Bill of Rights. He was born in 1751 and he died in 1836. Steve, wasn't that, that was your first election that you voted in, wasn't it?
Did I not tell you that this stuff still goes on?
I thought maybe since I was in studio, she'd take a break.
Like
sorry,
I said,
Steve.
I have to behave, but she does not.
If my mic goes silent, we'll know why. Well, whoops, I think I heard. I heard it. Okay. Here he said, James Madison, where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. Karen, I thought that was very appropriate for what we've just gone through in this last year.
Appropriate, most definitely, in what we've been through this last year. And I was looking at our talking points from the legislative meetings, and you and I were chatting about the fact that we're looking at a 50-year low in affordable housing, but that's housing in general. And you look at that, and why is that the case? Because at some point, power probably prevailed and took away those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And you just said, and you ask why. And we haven't mentioned this for a while, but critical thinking. You need to be asking questions. Rudyard Kipling says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And critical thinking is so important. And I was up at the Tapas and Topics in Fort Collins, well, in Windsor on Monday night. And Susan, one of our listeners, had gotten me a cap that said thinking cap. And I just love that because my parents always said, put your thinking cap on. And I'm not sure people have their thinking caps on right now. So that's why we do the show.
Well, and it's interesting you would bring that up. We had a conversation with some young adults, teenagers, last week, and we were talking about the fact that we have robbed them of an opportunity to be problem solvers because in many cases they've been handed things that our generation worked for, and we have paved the road, taken the bumps out, and so when put in a place of difficulty, they don't know how to manage it. And we were talking about a girlfriend of mine who spent the summers on the beach. She would get up in the morning and leave her home and at 10, 11 years old, go to the beach for the day. Her mom did not worry where she was, knew she was at the beach. Our children don't have those opportunities today. And when she was at the beach, she went into the ocean and she knew what her limits were and she went beyond her limits and she had to problem solve how to get back to shore. Asked a friend to maybe call the lifeguard and come out and get her, and all was well, and mom knew none the worse, whatever. And so we should reinstate the opportunity for our children to problem solve and critical think.
Well, and now we don't even let our kids walk to school.
I know.
It's
because it's not safe, and why isn't it safe?
And it's getting more unsafe. Mm-hmm. When you take a look at violent crime is up 50% in Denver, you have to ask why and who's in charge. Those are a couple of those good questions. Let's look at the bill of the day. And that is House Bill 21-1303. And this is Representatives Burnett and McLaughlin and Senator Hansen. And pretty sure they're all Democrats, right, Steve? Or did you take a look at that?
I did, and they are, and this is fresh from the Department of Redundancy Department.
Redundancy.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I think this is written by a fourth grader. It just repeats the same thing over and over again. And in their defense, I thought of a situation. You remember post-Katrina when we saw on the news all those hundreds and hundreds of campers that were being offered to people who lost their homes?
Right.
Well, it didn't take them long to figure out that they were built with some kind of a particle board element within that was just totally saturated in formaldehyde. So I get it that, you know, they're going to be looking for things that are, you know, going to cause problems down the line. But this thing, just take a good look at it. It's a hoot.
Okay. So, yes, it's House Bill. Let's see. House Bill 21-1303. It says the title of it's Concerning Measures to Limit the Global Warming Potential for Certain Materials Used in Public Projects. So, Steve, this is not for health reasons. This is for global warming. It says the Department of Personnel and the Department of Transportation are each required to establish policies regarding the global warming potential for specific categories of eligible materials used to construct certain public projects. It's the personnel is required to establish a maximum acceptable global warming potential for each category of eligible material used in certain public projects under its purview. The bill specifies which building materials are eligible materials, and it goes on regarding that. But basically what it's saying is that it's going to really force what kind of products can be used for public projects, which is going to raise the cost, even though we've already seen lumber is up. I think I heard it was up like 260%, Karen.
It's really phenomenally bad. The cost of housing is already, you know, escalating nationwide. And then you add the cost of lumber doing that. That just causes builders to not have the ability to control costs, which then doesn't control pricing. So they're putting escalation clauses, new construction, new builders in their pricing because they have to keep ahead of or project what the cost of these houses are going to be.
And who does it hurt? It hurts the everyday hardworking American. All these things hurt the everyday person. And it's like pile on as we are looking at these bills day after day after day. It's almost like the people down at the state legislature don't like that. Well, we see they don't like business. They don't like everyday people. They like illegal people that are here illegally. They want us to pay taxes to take care of those people. It's really beyond belief. And Colorado is at the tip of the spear on this. Steve, you look like you want to say something.
Well, I just think of all the other things that this a bill like this drives forward. The amount of time to do a project, it's protracting that as well.
And then more and more bureaucrats, more and more bureaucrats.
Well, which is more and more cost.
Right.
So you talk about things being expensive. This causes the cost to go up. At the very end, it notes a contractor that is awarded a contract for a public project is prohibited from installing any eligible material on that project under the contract until the contractor submits an environmental product declaration for that material. And I just think of the hours.
The hours.
And then that's labor costs. That's all those.
And then they're increasing down at the State House, they're increasing our labor costs through different pieces of legislation. And so, anyway, let's go to break.
It goes on and on.
We'll see what Lauren Levy thinks about all of this. When we come back from break, Lauren Levy is a specialist in the mortgage industry, and we'll see what he thinks about all this. Stay tuned.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Coming up on the Mike Gallagher Show, we're all going to get a little smarter because we're going to be blessed by a visit from Victor Davis Hanson. That and more all coming up.
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. While you're there at the website, be sure and buy your tickets for tomorrow night. It is our web event, Candid COVID Conversations. We promise that you will learn something, and would love to have you join us for that. So the tickets are $5 plus a $1 processing fee. Lauren Levy is on the line. He is another great sponsor of the Kim Munson Show, as well as America's Veterans Stories. And wondering what's happening, Lauren Levy, with Polygon Financial Group on interest rates. Are those headed up as well, Lauren?
Hey, good morning, Kim. Hi, Karen.
Good morning, Lauren.
We're starting to, you know, we talk about this every week, Karen. I mean, not Kim. It seems like they're trying to go up, and then something happens where they tick back down a little bit, and then they try to go up. And so every day is a new adventure, and you know, we'll just have to see where that all plays out. But for now, they're staying down, you know, relatively low, comparatively speaking, to other prices of things that you were just talking about.
Well, and it seems that this inflation drumbeat is continuing. I mean, it seems like it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out with all of this policy that we're going to be going into an inflationary time, and with all this printing of money, that's probably going to happen at some point, Lauren. And granted, housing prices are going up, Karen, but with interest rates low, and if you can lock something in for 30 years at least on your housing, that would be a really good thing, Lauren.
I agree. And the mortgage market is the one place where inflation is being tamed by the Fed action, because they're the ones that are still out there buying mortgages on the secondary market. The day they announce they're going to stop doing that, we're going to start seeing rates go up and see the inflation in that market too. So they're kind of being artificially kept down. So people need to take advantage of it while they can, because Karen will tell you that as prices go up, buying power goes down. And you need to take advantage of the lowest rates you can with the prices of homes escalating as they are.
So people need to get pre-qualified and give you a call, and then give Karen a call as well to be looking for a house. How can people reach you, Lauren, to get pre-qualified on their mortgage?
The best way is just call at 303-880-8881.
Again, that's 303-880-8881. Lauren Levy, thank you so much. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay. And Karen, it's so great to have you here. On the line with us is Liz Peets. She is the Vice President of Government Affairs for the, it's the Colorado Board of Realtors, right?
We're an association of association. Realtors.
Okay. Hey, Liz, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here.
Well, there's a lot going on both nationally and statewide. Liz, let's go to you first. What's happening here in Colorado regarding home ownership?
Well, thank you, Kim. Yes, it is another tough legislative session for businesses. We have been doing a lot in our advocacy world to try to make sure the policy that goes forward is balanced on both sides of the relationship, the housing provider side and the landlord-tenant side for those of us who are in the property management side. But on the home ownership side, I'm very excited that CAR is running, the Colorado Association of Realtors is running a package of legislation this year. We call it the Century of Opportunity. And it's very exciting that we can use the opportunities that we had last year in talking about racial justice and housing affordability that is affecting every corner of our state, and bring some really forward-thinking policy this session.
And what is that, Liz?
So it's four different bills, and the idea is we want the next century, since CAR is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year, to be one of opportunity for everyone in the century ahead. And we noticed, as we did some research last fall, that a lot of our populations of color don't have the same rates of home ownership as some of our other groups. And honestly, we're getting to be a more diverse state, and the future of real estate is diverse. So it's both our client base, but it's also the future of Colorado. So we have four bills. One focuses on financial literacy, HB 1200, so high school kiddos would have to graduate with curriculum around preparing for retirement, understanding credit and debit card use, managing student debt for higher education and preparing for home ownership. That's Bill 1. Bill 2 is House Bill 1028, and it is a reporting bill. The Division of Housing would annually have to publicly report how we spend our federal, state, and privately donated dollars. What type of housing are we creating, preserving, rehabbing? Is it rental, homeownership, supportive, or rapid rehousing? And where are those units in which municipality? So it's going to give us a lot of accountability and transparency into state decisions on housing.
Okay. What's the third one?
The third bill is House Bill 1134, and it is a bill that allows renters to build credit as they prepare for home ownership. So it's a pilot program. What would happen is CHAFA would offer the program to participating landlords and tenants that opt in. It's voluntary. And those tenants or renters that have the opportunity to report their rental payment regularly made to a credit bureau get the opportunity to build their credit, much like a mortgage and equity, but with a little bit of a safety net in the sense that they have not had this opportunity. And we know one of the biggest barriers to accessing homeownership is a good credit score.
Okay, and what's number four?
The fourth bill I'm really excited about. It's a menu of options bill. So we are using state stimulus funds to put in place three coordinated programs, and the menu option came from CAR and Habitat for Humanity. Essentially, it's a beginner, intermediate, and advanced grant program for local governments. So if you're the beginning phase, the Division of Housing will work with you to help do a comprehensive stakeholder program and the toolkit program to help you identify your housing needs. The planning phase is intermediate. It will allow you to work as a consultant to bring your idea to fruition. And the last part, the menu option, this is really exciting. It's going to be $9.3 million, and local governments, if they adopt at least three of the best practices in affordable housing development off the menu or pursue an innovative housing policy proposal, they could get state funding. So really exciting way for us to incentivize local governments to reduce those barriers.
Okay, Liz. Couple of things. I love the first one, House Bill 1200, regarding financial literacy, although I have to ask, why on earth here in America and Colorado do we have to have legislation to do that when we spend so much on education? But
we would think it would be a practical thing to put into education,
right?
Wouldn't we?
Right. But Liz, apparently our kids are not graduating with financial literacy, and I think our kids are falling behind because we're not teaching them the basics like financial literacy, bookkeeping. I mean, I learned that in high school, and you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I think part of it is because we're taking the school day and mandating what kids have to learn regarding sex education and this critical race theory, and our kids are falling behind on that. So that seems, it seems proactive, Liz, and you're in government affairs, and I know you're working to get good policy in place. So thank you for that. It's just kind of beyond me that we need to do that at this particular point in time, Liz.
Oh, completely agree. I know I learned it from my parents. I learned it in high school, but not everyone is learning it. Honestly, I think our entire population would love to have financial literacy, but we think this is so important for those students because, let's face it, student loans are a big factor in preparing for your financial security the rest of your life.
Well, and I'm not convinced that kids need to be taking on all of this the student debt when we see that they're not really preparing them for a career or for life. Mm-hmm. You know, there's hard science things that you certainly want your doctor or your engineer to go to college, but I'm not sure I'm convinced on some of these other things. So good for you on that. I want to go to the other one that I really like, and that's the House Bill 1134, where my understanding is that renters, their rental payments could be counted towards their credit score. It seems like that should have happened as well, Liz.
Yeah, again, this is another innovative way for us to re-examine how you can get ready to access home ownership. There's a lot of studies out there that show this is really successful in helping build credit. And here's the deal. If you are building your credit for purposes of saving for a down payment to get into a home, you're also going to get better credit on your auto loan, on your cell phone plan. And the best part about this program is it's a pilot. So we're going to analyze what do the housing providers need, what do tenants need to be able to participate in this program so we can actually see if it really works. And there'll be some reporting at the end, which is exciting.
Well, that really is exciting. And now, the other two, Liz, being a free market girl, a smaller government girl, I have to say I'm concerned about that. And serving on city council, it really shouldn't be government that is deciding, that is tracking housing. And it really, you know, having this beginner grant program, it sounds to me, when I hear racial justice, that decisions are going to be made regarding color of skin instead of content of character. I know you're in the government affairs business, and with this state, this legislature that we're working with down here, I know you're trying to get creative on that. I have a knot in my stomach on it because it seems like it's growing government. Your thoughts, Liz?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, the reporting bill doesn't really have a big fiscal note attached to it. Honestly, it's more about accountability for what are we doing with our housing dollars so that we make decisions based on data. And we know that we're spending on the entire housing continuum, rental, homeownership, everything. Just it's really about transparency and accountability. But the last bill, I'm really excited about the menu of options bill. Maybe you're not as excited, Tim. But here's why I think it's really exciting. Some of the ways that these local governments can reduce barriers include things like expedited permitting. So
True.
Right now we know it takes 18 months to 2 years to get a permit pulled in Denver. We want to encourage local governments to have a faster approval process to get affordable housing units created. We also know there are other ways like building in density or allowing land donation or land banking, changing zoning and master metering for water. If we give local governments money to help them cover the costs of reducing those costs to develop or create units, we think we can spur creation of housing. And again, we're going to have a report after 3 years to find out how well these incentive grants worked for local governments. But it's going to be a statewide program. So everyone, whether you're rural, mountain, urban, everyone should have an opportunity to apply to the state for whatever community housing needs you have.
Liz, I appreciate your creativity on this. I'm going to pull a Helen Mitchell quote when she said, "Kim, I think we have a variety of opinion on this." And Liz, I think you and I have a variety of opinion on this. But I totally agree with you on the reducing permitting, but it should be across the spectrum. I thought I heard you say on affordable housing, we need to reduce permitting across the spectrum. And when I was on city council, our building department was making a presentation regarding updating the building codes. And so I wanted to drill down more on that to understand what's happening regarding the building codes. And apparently there's a big meeting, I want to say every 2 or 3 years, and with all the building inspectors, the building departments, and different manufacturers would come in and make a pitch to have their product become a something that would be required, which would increase the cost of the housing. For example, in Denver passed, actually, I think it was an ordinance that said that all new housing has to have a port for electrical vehicle charging. Well, that increased the cost. And so I think what we need to do is first of all, take a look at this building code and realize that there are interested parties that are trying to get their things mandated so that they make money, and it's easier to make money if your product's mandated versus if you have to compete in the free market. So there's some things I really, sounds good about that. There's some things that, as a free market girl, Liz, I probably would have a variety of opinion on that. But I surely appreciate your creativity and trying to work with this legislature, because ultimately, Karen, as you've said, your goal is what we want to have, and that is for everyone to have the opportunity for home ownership. Karen, do you want to weigh in on this?
Well, yeah, and I would say because of the environment of which we are working in, we, the realtor community, we, the people of Colorado and Americans nationwide, I appreciate, actually, Liz, the accountability bill from the standpoint after the conversations that I heard in the legislative meetings is we have a lot of push towards urbanization, and yet the people of America talk about wanting to live more in a suburban environment. And so there's a disconnect there. And if you take accountability or you look at housing stock, it gives you a much better understanding, and you don't have somebody selling you an agenda that's not true.
Uh-huh.
So I see the benefit.
Okay. Okay. Well, Liz Peetz, stay on the line. She is the vice president of government affairs for the Colorado Association of Realtors. And Karen Levine is in studio. She is that award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. My name is Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at these issues. Freedom versus force, force versus freedom. While you're over at the website, be sure and sign up for our event tomorrow night. It's a web event, we've created a studio in my basement, which is going to be pretty darn cool. And it's Candid COVID Conversations, so you can buy your ticket at kimmunson.com as well. Before we continue this conversation, great conversation with Liz Peetz. Appreciate her. She's a VP of Government Relations for the Colorado Association of Realtors. And then Karen Levine, RE/MAX Award-winning realtor, friend of mine. If you're buying or selling your home, Karen is the person to talk to. And we want to talk about the meetings that you've had regarding on the national level. Before we do that, a couple of things. Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of both of my shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. And Hal and Linnea Van Herke, they are entrepreneurs. And Castlegate Knife and Tool has an extensive collection of knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you're a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. Now that things are opening up, we're having weddings, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great place for a wedding gift. Father's Day's coming up. Again, they have things for that sportsman or a utility knife. So be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And that's the place to go to see their complete collection. Let's jump over here. We don't hardly ever take callers, but Mark has something he wants to say about building inspection. And Mark, we're tight on time, so I'm going to give you a minute, okay?
Okay, thanks very much. Yes, kind of a sore subject with me. It seems to me that the building inspectors, they want the authority, but they don't want to take responsibility if something goes wrong. Essentially, they're acting as quality control, and I think we need to kind of do things completely different. We need to have somebody who has skin in the game, either the bank or the insurance company. They're the ones that need to act as the inspectors. They can still use the building code as a guide, but they've got the skin in the game because they own the house or they insure the house. And we need to get stop doing it the way we're doing it.
Mark, that is a very creative idea. I like that. We'll ruminate on that. But I appreciate that. And again, when I was on city council, and we had a good, really a good building inspector. I thought he did a good job. And in fact, there was a code coming in. I can't remember what it was now. It was something regarding fires and basements. And I said, I want to go out and see this new construction. And he said, do you realize, Kim, you're the first elected representative that has ever wanted to go out on site and see what they're really talking about. And so, Mark, I really appreciate you listening, and I appreciate the comment on that. Liz Peets is listening to that, and she's Vice President of Government Affairs with the Colorado Association of Realtors. So, Liz, there's a good suggestion for you.
Yeah, I'm always looking for good ideas for their next legislative session. This year, one of the bills in the session is actually going to license radon professionals, which I think is a great step forward in consumer protection. So we're actually pretty excited about that bill too.
Okay, Liz,
it's curious. We can't get home inspectors licensed, but we're going to license the radon mitigation companies. So, you know, it's little steps or big steps, however you look at it, and challenging. And I know consumers feel licensing provides protection, but in many cases, the free market does equally as good a job.
What I've seen, and Liz again, and then is licensing. It's like if the government giveth, the government can taketh away. And so I think we need to have a big licensing conversation about that as well. But Liz, let's jump over here to Karen on the national level. We've got just about 5 minutes, so we're going to have you come back on this, Karen. I know you've been in meetings, so why don't you give us kind of the first big thing that people need to know regarding on the national level?
Well, and Liz can definitely add to the conversation, which is one of our talking points in the legislative meetings is the threat of the takeaway of the 1031 exchange. And the National Association of Realtors, as well as state and local associations, will be educating all parties of what is a 1031 exchange and why is it important to the housing stock and the housing market. And the 1031 exchange allows an investor who has bought a property as an investment property to exchange it into a like-kind property with a delayed tax consequence. And so President Biden has said he is going to get rid of the 1031 exchange. And in doing that, the underlying understanding is that 1031 exchanges benefit corporate America. The funny part is that only 5% of 1031 exchanges that occur nationwide have to do with corporate ownership. It is the small mom and pop investor that gets the opportunity to utilize that tax postponement, mm-hmm. that act. And the 1031 exchange, we'll use an example that I have an investor that bought a condominium as an investment property and became a landlord and rented that property and has found that if they sell that property and take those proceeds, they can invest in a more expensive property in an area of the country that they want to eventually retire to. But in the meantime, they can take that money and move it and delay the taxable event, and they, one, are freeing up a piece of property here to be sold to someone else, and they're investing money in another piece of property at a higher rate. The belief is that ultimately they pay less tax to the government. But because
that's what the government thinks.
That's what the government thinks. The data states that they actually, over the life of their ownership of properties, pay 19% more. So it is actually to the benefit of the government to keep it in place for the long term because it allows for housing cycling or property. It can be commercial property. It could be shopping centers, you know, strip malls, those type of things. And from the commercial side, local commercial broker said to me, 40% of his transactions entail a 1031 exchange. Wow. So if that were to go away, it would hurt the transfer of real property nationwide on many, many levels, and something that would be very harmful.
Wow, Karen, we have gotten, we're just about out of time. So we've got to continue.
We have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about. Liz Peets, I so appreciate you joining us. And what's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
You know, I think I'd like to say we're working on proactive solutions. We don't win every battle, but housing is so important, especially coming out of the pandemic. We need to get the policy right. So please make sure you're telling your legislators what matters to you, because they're making a lot of important decisions down there.
Well, and Liz Peets, thank you for your work. And I really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Happy to be here.
And thank you to Mark for calling in regarding the creative idea on building inspectors as well. Yeah, skin in the game is a good idea. And I like that. Karen Levine, you are such a great partner. And you're such a valued friend. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to get you scheduled early, I think, in June, so that we can continue on with the talking points on this. So thank you so much.
Got a lot to talk about, don't we?
Yes, we most definitely do. And it hurts my heart to see this public policy that is taking away the opportunity for young people to get their own home and to build wealth, want that backyard for their dog. And I so appreciate all the work that you're doing. You're a real lion in this fight for private property rights.
Well, and I appreciate that I have an opportunity to have that voice.
So if you are buying or selling your home, give Karen Levine a call. That number is 303-877-7516. 303-877-7516. Don't do it by yourself. You need a professional in a market like this. Right, Karen?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Our quote for today is James Madison, and he says, as a man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.